fell over the weekend and hurt his hip. I think he broke his hip, and they planned on some surgery today, and that may have got pushed back. But anyway, he's out with family. So we got a special guest this morning that's going to come preach for us. But before we do that, I want to get through our announcements. First off, I want to welcome you to New Harmony. I know we're kind of a little slim this morning. A lot of folks out on vacations and that type thing. But we did find out in our Sunday school class that vacations are biblical. So we have found that, and I'm going to kind of stand on that every time I take a vacation. I'm going to say, well, you know, it's in God's plan for my life. Me to take a few days off. But anyway, as far as announcements this morning, we've got a church-wide cookout that's going to take place Sunday, October the 12th, 3 p.m. That'll be at the Rice Pavilion at Lake Weedowee. We went there, what?
We want to make it August
12th. What did I say? Let me correct that. Did I say October, really? Actually, October's when me and Peggy's going on vacation. that's kind of what's in my mind. I apologize for that. You know, what they say, what's in the well comes up in the bucket? Yeah, so that's it. I'm just... All right, August the 12th, 3 p.m. If you don't know how to get down there, get with... gosh, I don't know how... Siri can tell you, or we've got directions. I think Jonathan may have printed out some directions, but we'll have a good time down there. It's at the pavilion there, swimming, boating, kayaking, anything you want to do there, plus picnicking. We'll also be feeding the Cleveland County High School Band on Thursday, be this Thursday, August the 2nd. At the high school lunchroom, all those serving, please be there by 11 a.m. We also need donations of brownies and cookies. Please have those at the church by Wednesday night. So who's coordinate that? Pat, you coordinating that? Kay? Somebody. Just get with Kay. I think it's a tradition that we've done for several years now is during the band's summer workouts or whatever they have. They practice a couple of weeks before school starts, so we've been doing that now for a couple of years. I mean, a few years on feeding them. So get with Kay or Miss Pat on that. If you need information, text NHBC to that number that's on your bulletin there to receive updates. Just a lot of good stuff in the bulletins. Anybody that, any prayer requests or anything we need to remember this morning? Yes, Ms. Kevin.
My brother, Michael Norton, is having cornea transplants this week, Thursday, and he needs prayers.
Okay. Remember those. Anybody else? Mentioned in our Sunday school class, I want to continue to remember Pam Hightower, still struggling to get better. It's just kind of one day at a time with her. Still has issues with pancreas as well as her stomach. And spent some quality time with Joe and his boys last night in Atlanta. We went to the Braves game and kind of give him a chance to break away for a little while. She was doing a lot better, so he came up and done that. But that family's struggling. So if you can remember those. Anybody? Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to give a praise report. Bill went this week, and he is cancer-free.
Amen. That's great. That's great news, Mr. Bill. Good deal. We serve an awesome God. Can do that. Okay, if there's none other, I'll ask the ushers to come up, and we'll take up our morning offering, and then we'll pray for these and others, and then after that, our singers will come up. So if the ushers would come forward. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for another day to come to your house and worship. God, I just pray for the ones that were mentioned this morning that need a special touch from you. I pray for our congregation as a whole. I pray for the ones that are out traveling, the sick and the shut-ins. God, I just thank you so much for your awesome mercy and kindness that you bestow upon us. And Father, I pray for this time of our service that we're allowed to give back a portion of what you have blessed us with, God. I pray your blessings on this offering that we receive to use it for the upbuilding of your kingdom and the furtherance of your word. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen. One of the praise reports that I didn't get to mention was Janelle and Kenny's back with us after a several weeks absence there, so it's always great to see them here. Kenny, good to have you back, man. Been missing you. And I'll get that grass cut as soon as I get time. I also want to mention there will be no service tonight, no church service tonight. So, okay, Miss Peggy, it's all yours.
Christ. my mom back in church with me this morning. It's just awesome.
Use me. It's a real joy and a privilege and an honor to be here, to be able to tell about Jesus, to talk about Him. He's the reason that we come here. There is no other reason. We love to fellowship. That's good. But the reason we have these meetings on Sunday and other days during the week is to worship and glorify and lift His great name up. That's what we want to do. And I got some good reasons here, I believe, why we do that, why we want to do that. It's not new. The Bible teaches us there's nothing new under the sun. But maybe this word will help us to understand a little bit better, a little bit more things about Jesus. That's the purpose of it anyway. The main text comes from Mark 12, 35-37. Got a couple of other things that we'll read. Mark 12, 35-37. Now this is when Jesus is trying to convince the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and those who were against Him, the Jewish hierarchy. He was trying to convince them who He was. And as we know, He really was never able to do that. They never accepted who He was. Of course, that was in God's great plan. And we, as Gentiles, that is, non-Jewish people, should really be happy and glad that that happened. Mark 12:35. And as Jesus taught in the temple, He said, "How can the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? David himself, in the Holy Spirit, declared, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your footstool.'" David taught just like the apostles in the New Testament. David was the king, the greatest king that ever walked the earth as a human, mankind king, excluding Jesus. What David did was the greatest things that's ever been done by a worldly king. He built up Israel to the greatest position it was ever in during his time as king. And you know that after he served as king, when he died, then and Solomon took over, Solomon did a lot of great things. But we know that David, of course, disobeyed God and he couldn't live perfectly. Nobody did except Jesus. But what he accomplished was the greatest accomplishment in any kingdom. But when Solomon came along, he did build the temple. But then at that time, you remember that David's children did everything they could to keep Solomon from being king. They murdered each other and did all sorts of things to keep Solomon out, but that was in God's plan. And Solomon became the king. He built the temple. But then after Solomon's reign, the golden kingdom began to turn to rust. And in the next generation, with Rehoboam and Jeroboam, it was divided. The kingdom was divided. But David was a man after God's own heart. He had the ability and understanding that can come only from God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's how he taught. He taught by the power of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't something that he came up with himself. The Holy Spirit was in his heart, teaching him. And Jesus taught by his own power, which is the same as others teach by the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit came into people in a different way in the Old Testament. It only came at times when God saw fit to send it. There was a time of 400 years that it did not come to the people, the chosen people, the Jewish people. David was the greatest king in Jewish history, but he was far from perfect. He received all his instruction that he wrote down by the power of the Holy Spirit. But David called Jesus Lord. David's sins were all forgiven because he called Jesus Lord. That's why. And that's how our sins are forgiven. It's by the power of the shed blood of Jesus. And it was by the power of the shed blood of Jesus that would be shed on the cross that David was saved, that anyone else was saved in the Old Testament. There's never been another way. There never will be another way. That is the way to salvation. It's Christ's own shed blood. And we're glad to say that. We lift him up. We want to say that. We want everybody to hear it in the whole world. There's none that can be excluded. We can't just wipe some people off and say, no, they don't have a chance. I mean, that's just, they've been that way for so many generations and over and over and over. Aren't we glad that God doesn't think that way? And he never says that. But we have to understand that Christ, the Lord Jesus, has always been He's always been the God of the earth, the God of the world, the God of the universe, the God of all creation. From the eternity past to eternity going forward, Jesus has always been in control. The great triune God. It was from the words that came out of the mouth of Jesus himself that the world was created. Nothing was created that he did not create. Now in Psalms 110, and let's go ahead and read that now. Psalms 110, the little caption in my Bible says, sit at my right hand. Psalm 110, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Now, does that sound familiar? We just got through reading it, didn't we? In Mark. Isn't that interesting? It's the same thing is said about Jesus in Psalm there, as it said in Mark. The Lord, verse 2, the Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in holy garments. From the womb of the morning, the dew of your youth will be yours. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. Now, this is speaking about Jesus. After the order of Melchizedek, the Lord is at your right hand and will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. He will execute judgment among the nations filling them with corpses. He will shatter chiefs over the wide earth. He will drink from the brook by the way. Therefore, he will lift up his head. Jesus is the main character throughout the whole Bible. That's why we study it. That's why we love it so much. Because what has he done for us as his own chosen people? Now, we call the Jews his chosen people. Now that's what they're named in the Bible. There were many peoples at that time in the earth. And God, for his own purposes, came to Abram, who is Abraham, and he chose him. And he told Abraham what to do, and Abraham followed him, and it was considered to him as righteousness because of his faith. But he calls them, the Bible calls them, his chosen people. Now, why were they his chosen people? It's because God Almighty himself chose them. So when we come to know Christ, we are his chosen people. Now, there's nothing that God does not know. That's the great triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He knows who will come to him. All through the Bible, you can see that. You see, he says, I know my lambs know my voice. And they come to me when I call. That should not surprise anybody. It's all through the Bible that God is in control of all things. He sees all things. Yet, that does not relieve us of our responsibility. We have to seek after God. It has to be our desire as Christian people to seek him, to seek his way, to seek his favor, to seek his love and understanding. Because there's never going to be a time, as long as we live on this earth, that we're not sinners. And he wants us to call upon him at all times, to keep a prayer on our heart all the time so that we might call upon him. Our next and last verse that we'll look at is in Isaiah 6. I know I got it marked. Yeah, here it is. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, this is Isaiah speaking, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and a train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, with two he flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Some might argue, I doubt it, but they were speaking of the Lord Jesus. And we sometimes think of Jesus being in some far off place and we're waiting here on earth for him to come back and rescue us. But you know, that's not really the way it is. The way it is his own have already been rescued. The time of his kingdom has already started. It started on this earth when we come to know him. We become one of his, and he begins to build us up for that time when he comes back to take us into his glory. It's not something that starts after we die. It has already started once we come to know him. That's what makes it so mysterious, and that's what makes it even so plain, even though it's mysterious. And it sometimes confuses people in thinking that eternity for us is not going to start until after we die. But it's already started once we ask Him to come into our heart and the Holy Spirit indwells our heart and we come to know Him. It started then. Now, we know, and it's been taught to us from the time we were in Sunday school till up until this instant, that there's two places. That place that is with, that will be with Christ, we call it paradise, eternity with Christ, with the Lord, with God. And there's the other place. That's hell. It's not pleasant to talk about hell and people being there and being without God for eternity. We can't put our minds around eternity. We can't understand how long eternity and how long it'll be and what it'll be. But it is forever. And we think of that, and if you're a Christian, if we are Christians, then we just fall down on our knees and thank God, because that's the only way to escape eternity in hell is through Christ. Jesus asked the Jewish hierarchy about this, and they were so committed to destroying Jesus, they didn't hear what He was saying. They didn't understand what He was talking about. They didn't believe who He was. They didn't believe that He had always been. They didn't believe that He was the creator of all things. They didn't believe that He was in control of all things, and nothing was ever out of His control. Even when He went to the cross, they came to get Him and to hang Him on the cross. He said, "You don't take me. I give myself." And we sing that song sometime about what other God would have thought of this or ever done it. Well, there wouldn't be any. They couldn't. Christ, He's the only one. He took cross upon Himself. He took our sins upon Himself. He took the scourges for us. How could mankind reject such a plan? Now we must take seriously a few things about Jesus. We have to believe Him. And that is, He was born of a virgin. He died on the cross. He lived a perfect life. He was resurrected after that death on the cross. And then Pentecost. It's very, very important, Pentecost is. Because that's when the Holy Spirit came to this earth. And is able to indwell us as Christians. Before that, it was come and indwell and then go. But it's not that way now. The Holy Spirit comes into a Christian's heart and never, ever leave. We may push Him over to the side a lot of times, but He does not leave us. We never have to get saved but one time. But we got to make sure that we get saved then. It's not just a matter of walking up the aisle, or it's not just a matter of saying, "I want to get saved and I'm coming up here to get baptized." That's not what it means. It means that we repent and we're sorry for our sins, and we don't want to commit those sins again, and we ask Jesus to forgive us, and He does, and we turn from our sinful ways. It by no means means that we'll never sin again. Of course not on this earth. We're fallen creatures. And we will continue to sin as long as we're here on this earth. But we have Christ in our heart, and those sins that we commit are already forgiven. That does not give us the right to do it. You remember Paul writes about whether we can go ahead and sin so forgiveness of sin will abound. And he says, no, by no means will you do that. You try to live a pure life as much as we possibly can. The other thing, and one of the most important things that we must believe is that Christ will return one day. We believe He's coming back. We know He's coming back. Christians have a knowledge that other people don't. We know He's coming back. We know that He will burst that eastern sky wide open one day when the last trump sounds. And He put His foot on earth. And all the judgment will take place then. The Messiah who is to come, Christ, has been enthroned at the right hand of the Father. He's there now. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. You remember, I know a lot of y'all probably have watched Robin Hood. There's been several movies out about Robin Hood ever since the 30s probably, or even before that. I don't really know when the first one was, but Robin Hood really is one of the greatest examples of Christianity and following Christ there is. You remember Robin Hood and his band were in the Sherwood Forest. And you know the king, King Richard, he went to fight. He had to leave the country and go fight in the Crusades, Christian Crusades. And John, the evil prince, took over to rule. Well, Robin Hood and his band were true to King Richard. That's why John and all his group were after him all the time. They stood for King Richard. And you remember when King Richard came back and Robin, they saw this coach and they robbed King John a lot. Passed it out to the poor, you remember. Well, they saw this coach and they figured, well, that nice thing. We're going to rob that, get their gold. Well, they stopped him and you know the King Richard was dressed up like a priest. Had a hood over his head. They couldn't tell who he was to start with. But then they started taking their gold. And King Richard revealed himself. And what did Robin Hood do? Maybe you don't remember that part of the movie, but he dropped down on his knees. He recognized the king and he called him who he was. That's what's going to happen to us as Christians when Jesus comes back. We're just going to fall down on our knees to Him and worship Him right there. It wasn't exactly like worship for them, but they recognized who He was and they recognized that He was the King. Just like we'll do when Christ comes back. We're going to fall down. We'll recognize who He is. And He will make His enemies His footstool. To sum this up, the story of Christ is something that never gets old. We can find it anywhere in the Bible we want to look. And we can always know that Christ is with us. He's for us. He never leaves us once we come to know Him. And we must keep the faith that we know Him and recognize Him and lift Him up to others. That's all I have for the message, but I wanted to make sure that, and Rudy mentioned Chad's father that's broken his hip or has some problems and maybe he's having surgery right now as we speak. I don't know. But I would ask us to please lift him up in our prayers, and that he might be comforted, that the whole family might be, and that good things will come from this. I thank y'all for listening, and we'll have just a one-verse invitation, and it will include anybody who would like to come up to the altar. It will include anybody who would like to come to Christ. If you feel like that he's touched your heart and you would like to come, or anybody who would like to come and join this church by faith or by movement of a letter, any way that we're authorized to receive new members, we'd love to have you. And again, I thank you for listening, and go ahead.